Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. Today we're going to do a deep dive into the second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Our purpose is that you'll never doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. God is always available. Paul opens the chapter, King James translation. And you, has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. First thing you need to look at is, has he quickened, is in italics. That means it's added by the translator. Literally, it says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, in the children who don't have ears to hear. God did not gift them ears to hear. Oh, well, that's terrible, Don. Well, that's the way it is. Prince of the power of the air, do you know the chaos that's going on in the world? The chaos that's going on in our nation, the United States, that God-ordained country? You want to hear more about that? Go and listen at thegodschool.com to the second greatest story ever told. It's going to take a while, but if you're so moved, you'll hear things there that I assure you, you never heard before. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation. The word there, it speaks of behavior or desires. Of behavior. In times past, in the lusts. Oh, that word lust. No, it's desires. In the desires of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Paul opens that first chapter of Ephesians in that fourth verse by saying, according as he has chosen us, that's who Paul's talking to in this second chapter. That's who Paul's talking to throughout all his epistles, those whom God has chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he did it for himself. Not because I was any better, or not because you were any better, because it says, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, now, it says, has quickened us together with Christ, has made alive, has made us alive, together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, by unmerited favor. Nothing we did to deserve it. By grace. grace. We are saved, and has raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul is preaching the gospel here. Listen, that in the ages to come, literally, in the coming ages, he might show off the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace he is saved through faith. And that not of yourself. Even that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. They'll come, but the works, listen, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. If any good comes of us, it's because God ordained it. God prepared it. Boy, I could go on, but that's not the road we're going on today. Because of this, remember that ye, in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Circumcision. It's an outward sign, but it is not an act of God. It was a direction of God for his people, a sign of separation. But not of salvation. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Strangers from the covenants of promise. God, throughout the ages, has preserved his word in spite of man's attempt to change it. God has preserved it in order that today and all in all ages past, men may read all the promises of God. For in them, or acting on them, that is called faith. Not in what we without God hope for, but what we hope for through and in the promises of God. Having no hope. You don't have the promises, you don't have the hope. If you don't know the word, how can you have hope? But now, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And often we have referred to this phrase, blood of Christ. You know, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the soul is in the blood, and it's made nigh by the life of Christ. For he, that is Christ, is our peace. I want to stop there. I want to stop there because I believe greater understanding comes from understanding what Paul actually said rather than what most people think of when they think of the word peace. Webster's Dictionary says this. The Latin is pax, pacis, peace, root. It's the French pax, Latin pax. It says a state of quiet tranquility, calm, quietness, or repose, freedom from war or hostility, a cessation of hostilities, absence of strife, tranquility of mind, harmony, serenity, public tranquility, and order, at peace, in a tranquil state, in a state of harmony, to be quiet. Dr. Scott used to define that phrase as cessation of againstness, that God is not against us anymore. But I think the original brings us to even a deeper understanding. For the word in the Greek is eirene. I'll give you a lexical summary. KJV says, one, peace, quietness, rest. Listen. Set at one again. Word origin, it's probably from the primary verb eiro, to join. Strong's exhaustive concordance, one, peace, quietness, rest. Probably from the primary verb eiro, to join. Peace, literally or figuratively, by implication, one, peace, quietness, rest, set at one again. Eirene, from eiro, to join, to tie together into a whole. Continues, properly, wholeness. Example is when all essential parts are joined together, peace, God's gift of wholeness. Now that you have that background, you have that etymology, you have through it the understanding, the greater understanding of this word peace, Let's continue on. For he is our Irene, who has made both one. Something is joined and has broken down the middle wall of partition which was between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What enmity? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself of twain or two one new man, so making set together againness. Peace. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity. What was the enmity? The law? But we need to go back a second. It says, and that he might reconcile. The word is apokalasso. Apokalasso. It means to reconcile completely. Listen. To reconcile back again, to bring back a former state of harmony, that state in which God created man in his image and we messed up. That's our nature. It's our nature, and God in Christ Jesus has reconciled, has reconciled her back again. And slain the enmity in himself, and came and preached peace, preached set together again. They're not preaching peace in this world. In Matthew 10, Jesus said, I come not to bring peace, but a sword. To set a man at variance. I'm at variance to that part of so-called Christianity that says, look at my works. I could tell a story here, but I'm not going to, about so-called Christian brothers. I never want to do business with a man who says he's a Christian businessman. If you're going to do business, do business. You don't need to add the adjective. That guy, that man or woman who adds that adjective, run away from. And came and preached, literally, gospelized peace. Gospelized, set together againness through and in and by Jesus Christ. To you who were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto, and I'm going to say, not the Father, make it personal, say it with me, by one Spirit unto our Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, those who have committed themselves to Christ alone, without works, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, those who brought us the word, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. That's not an instant happening, folks. It takes time. I've been at this, wow, you know, 45 years. And it's just this last week, having read this chapter, and having the understanding through study, through having been taught, not only by a great pastor, but led by God's Spirit, that one Spirit that gives us access unto our Father, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth. Again, it grows with time unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God for faith. God to those who grab hold of his promises as, excuse me, as though they are more real than anything we might encounter in this life, which suggests other than the reality of God's promises. That's faith. And for faith, God gives us his Holy Spirit, that is, God dwelling in us through his Spirit. Not a long message today, but I hope that it will bring daily consciousness of awareness of God through his Spirit, by his promise unto all of us. And that's the God School for today.